Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rick Swan.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good because today is rap day on our top secret project.
Yes, that we're not going to talk about just now. But
I mean, it's actually, by the time this goes live, it's kind of already been announced.
But what if I launch it early? Like, what if I post it, like, at lunchtime?
Yeah, don't.
I mean, there's always an option. I could not do that.
And we're going for a little rap party tonight.
So excited.
Emphasis on the rap.
Yes.
Drop the W, because Chopper Pete's in the house. We've got karaoke booked for an hour. You better believe Mum's Spaghetti's going to come out.
Do you know what I was doing on my way into work today? I was going through my iTunes, because I still have iTunes, going through all the artists and writing down artists to search for when we get to karaoke.
There's seven of us and only an hour.
Yeah.
So realistically, you're going to get one song. What, one solo each? Maybe we should do that. I know what mine is.
What is yours?
Well, All Saints, Never Ever.
Good. I mean, I had that down.
I've got it. That's mine. Yeah. That's my jam now. Yeah. What's yours?
I'm going to do Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know.
How does that one go?
And I'm here to remind you of the mess you... It's a banging tune. But anyway, let's crack on into the show. We'll probably talk more about this in the outro. Fun show today. It's the magazine show. Oh, it's hype it up, man. It's consistently okay content.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about potential NXT draft moves. From a Tom Colley report. We've also got chat about Sheamus's old entrance music.
Two Men Alarms.
WWE propaganda on the network, which is a lot of fun. And your mailbag questions. Here is the show.
Let's get in to the draft 2020 predictions, because Tom Colley has said in his most recent video this week that, yes, the plan still is to have a shake-up after WrestleMania.
So is this the draft? Is
yes.
This going to be, like, okay, but what, no, my point was, are we going to have a superstar shake-up after Mania and then a draft later in the year?
I would say no. I think... That he doesn't go into that, but it seems like you have a draft, like we did back in October when SmackDown went to Fox and Raw got Paul Heyman properly booking everything there. So that was a proper draft where you get that weird robot thing.
Yes.
In the war room between the networks.
Yeah, Pepsi Man.
I think the post-WrestleMania shakeup is like a soft version of that, where, some people just turn up.
Yeah.
And there's no real announcements or concept behind where people are going.
It's a way to have, and it's a very smart way to have, two post-WrestleMania episodes of Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you get the post-WrestleMania, few debuts there, and then a full shake-up version with, I guess, the SmackDown to Raw trades going on. Anyway, he said that while everything's going pretty well with the rosters and WWE are happy with what they've got in place, a few imbalances have started to appear, and that is chiefly SmackDown has no baby faces because The Miz turned heel. Fiend is like this nebulous, he's a heel and a face. Yeah. And Daniel Bryan, you know, he has turned, he's not heel anymore, but he's not fully face either, I would argue.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're lacking baby faces, that needs to be fixed. And on Raw, Becky Lynch has beaten all the women.
Yes, which is really evident in the lineup for the Elimination Chamber because Sarah Logan's in it. Apparently, all you've got to do to qualify for the Elimination Chamber these days is be on the roster.
Or the Riot Squad. It's like a Riot Squad reunion. It's like they looked at the Elimination Chamber and were like, oh crap, Charlotte's busy. I think they just
Call
wanted
Natalia,
to put Charlotte
quick.
In there. So that's what they've got to fix there. And you kind of see in this already, Tom Colohue points out that they've got Shayna Baszler. They've had to bring up her from NXT, really, or sideways, rather. It's hard to get the linguistics right now. I'm so used to saying up.
I'd imagine they still call it up.
Yeah, yeah. And she's going to be facing Becky Lynch and Charlotte. You know, the two top female stars on Raw, they've beaten everyone, so they're having to go to NXT to face other people because, you know, Charlotte won the Women's Royal Rumble, is facing Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, and I don't think that SmackDown is doing much better because it really feels like they've got no direction for the SmackDown Women's Division. I figured they were going to do something with Lacey at WrestleMania because Bayley kind of screwed her to win the title, or to retain the title at the Royal Rumble. So then you build up and you have the big Yay America win at Mania. But apparently they're going to do Naomi instead, which is great because Naomi's awesome. But it just feels like, well, what's next? What do you do with Lacey then? And what's Sasha Banks doing?
I feel like SmackDown on the women's side has a nicer spread. You know, Naomi, Bayley, Sasha Banks, Lacey Evans has really come on leaps and bounds. Then you've got Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville.
Carmella,
you've got like, but the Raw side, the highs are so much higher.
Oh my,
Becky
yeah.
Lynch, Charlotte,
yeah.
and then Asuka,
yeah.
and then everybody else
Everyone
is down
else,
here.
Yeah.
But whereas SmackDown is not as impressive in terms
they're
of overness,
in the middle.
But they're just all flattened out here. But yes, so it's since Royal Rumble, which I think is where Raw really, really started to get good. And I've said it the last couple of weeks, we are living through the best weekly wrestling TV period of all time.
It's so good right now.
Raw, AEW, and NXT, week after week. And, you know, I tweeted this out 2 weeks ago, and it topped it this week. Raw wasn't as good, but NXT TakeOver and that AEW show, good God, poor SmackDown. So,
Heyman, the Otis and Mandy stuff is awesome.
Yeah, but Heyman, since the Rumble, has started to utilize Baszler. Riddick Moss just appeared. It is technically a call-up.
What a game changer.
Yeah. Before then, you had Chelsea Green and...
Deonna Purrazzo.
Deonna Purrazzo appear. So it seems like, I reckon Heyman is looking at NXT. He's always been a guy about developing new talent, and he's itching to raid that box of toys.
Yeah, completely. Which is why I think it's very bizarre that the first person you've written down is Keith Lee to SmackDown, because that... Keith Lee feels like such a Paul Heyman Raw project.
Yeah, but SmackDown needs people.
Does need its baby faces, I know.
And I think Keith Lee is such a unique style of over that he can go against Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I mean, not initially. I think there is a lot of money in a Keith Lee-Roman Reigns feud based off that Survivor Series interaction.
But there's also money in Keith Brock.
Yep. Keith, Braun Strowman.
Well, this is what I was
eliminated each other at Royal Rumble.
So this is what I was going to say in terms of putting Keith Lee over on SmackDown is you also move Lesnar over, because once Lesnar loses the title to Drew, what do you do with Brock on Raw?
Well, he can float, can't he?
But I think you move him over to SmackDown where he's almost got like a new fresh pool of Roman Reigns to fight with. And that way you can do Braun, you can do Roman, you could do Keith Lee, importantly. And I know like Roman and Braun are sort of like old hat feuds at the moment, but they almost feel like they might be kind of new again because they're over on SmackDown. Might be able to present it slightly differently. I think moving Brock, because actually that moves him out of the title picture on Raw, might be the best move. Mm.
I just look at Keith Lee and there's something SmackDown about him. I'm not saying SmackDown in the last 8 months because it's been pretty rubbish, but SmackDown historically, I just feel like, you know, Sasha Banks weirdly also feels SmackDown. It's not a slight. I feel like they would work so well on that brand.
And he could easily walk in SmackDown as a top babyface.
Definitely.
Because they haven't got, like, at the moment on Raw, it's a stacked old babyface roster. Whereas on SmackDown, there is a open gap for someone to go and walk in and be the number two babyface. Because clearly, it's not Kofi anymore. You know, and Kofi was like number three at best when he was champion. So Keith has got that spot open for him to walk in and was like, I'm now the number two babyface on this brand.
I think Finn Balor stays in NXT.
Yep, I can totally see that.
Undisputed Era is one that a lot of people have spoken about, I mean, for years, but more so now because Carl and Fish have dropped the tag belts. They've done everything they can do.
A couple of times over.
Yeah, it feels like the only thing left for them is to kind of self-implode. Mm-hmm. So either you tell the self-implode story in NXT, which would be good, but I don't know if that's what I want more than them just coming up to the main roster.
Yeah, but if you're going to put them over onto SmackDown, then are you not just going to have four new heels on an already sort of stacked heel side? And have them sort of feuding with the New Day when you could, I don't know, like, because like, you're absolutely right, the Undisputed Era should be called up because there's nothing left for them to do in NXT. They need to have a new crop of people. My first instinct is to put them on Raw and have them going in Seth's group.
Yeah, yeah.
But like with Seth, we've actually got a question about this in the mailbag. I feel Seth and Drew is your SummerSlam main events, like on the Raw side of things. So I don't know where you go with the Undisputed Era, but 100% they don't need to be in NXT.
I just think SmackDown is in such need of an injection of momentum and energy.
Yeah.
And this, but you know, it's a draft. It's not all one-way traffic of NXT up to the main roster. It's also cross-pollination from Raw and SmackDown. But speaking of like people who have nothing really left to do, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano.
I feel like they're NXT lifers.
Yeah,
now.
I don't think they're coming up either.
No, I feel like they had their, 2 weeks on the main roster when they were part of that, you know, sort of Vince McMahon panic call up. But I can 100% see Ciampa and Gargano being NXT lifers.
Yeah, yes.
And that's nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think they'd be perfectly happy doing that.
And I don't actually want them to come up to the main roster. Yeah, I love them, but Vince McMahon's perception will be these guys are small.
They're small.
Yeah, and it just won't work. I love them so much, and I was burnt last year in February. Can't believe that was only a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
It's probably a year ago, like to the week.
Yeah, they had the panic call up.
Yeah. The Velveteen Dream?
Yeah, I could see Dream getting his shot, getting his call up.
He's again like someone who feels like he's done all there is to do in NXT, even though he's only had one briefish run with the North American title.
Yeah.
But I don't see him as a NXT champion.
No, and I could see you definitely putting him on SmackDown. Like, SmackDown is a really weird beast at the moment because like all the reports were it's going to be this super serious sports-based presentation. But if anything, it's the wackiest show that WWE do. It's like Funhouse. Like, it's a whole lot of fun with prizes to be won. So you put Dream over on SmackDown, where he can be full-on Velveteen Dream, and it would just slot right in with all the other wacky stuff that goes on with SmackDown.
Yeah, you wanted Brock and Ronda, MMA legitimacy. Here's a guy with a split personality.
Yep.
Here's a guy, prince cosplayer.
I was going to say, here's a guy who thinks he's a king.
On the women's side, we've already seen Ripley, Rhea Ripley. I don't think she gets called up. I just think this is a way, the Charlotte feud, to give NXT a bump. I mean, crazy. What if Charlotte goes down, wins the NXT title, moves to NXT for 6 months?
I was actually going to say the same thing because, so the reports last year were that Charlotte was unhappy in WWE. And actually, you know, she said as much because she doesn't feel like she's got a direction at the moment because the focus is all on Becky. So she's not going for championships now. You know, she won the Royal Rumble and she's going for the NXT championship. This feels like it is a purposeful direction to, maybe move her to NXT for 6 months, maybe even a year, just sort of move her there, Finn Balor it. And just say, like, you're now going to go to NXT where you can be the top B down here instead rather than trying to compete against Becky up on Raw.
And on that, I think Bianca Belair might get a call up.
Totally.
But this is not what I want to happen, but I think this is the reason it will happen. Becky Lynch needs people to feud with. Belair will come up after WrestleMania and be fed to Lynch in a 2-3 month program.
Yeah, but you can. But that's only if Baszler loses. Baszler could win the Raw Women's Championship at WrestleMania.
Do you think she should?
I think she should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that you could definitely have Baszler win the Raw Women's title.
Yeah.
Because that then gives Becky Lynch something to go for. It gives Belair something to go and feud with. If you're bringing Ronda back, you can slot her into that role as well. And you can essentially kind of rebuild that Raw Women's division.
Yeah.
And that injection of Rhea Ripley, of Bianca Belair is a really good call. Particularly as well, because Montez Ford is also on that brand.
Mm-hmm. Of course, her husband.
Yes.
My last one here I put, but it seems like it might not happen just because they won the tag titles at TakeOver, the Broserweights, is Matt Riddle to Raw.
He's a total Paul Heyman guy.
I think the Brock Lesnar stuff's a work.
Yeah.
Just the way it's been treated and come out.
Oh, it's a total work.
Yeah, and it's got Paul Heyman written all over it.
Yeah.
So I've got to think that there might be Vince. Obvious. I actually do think Vince doesn't see anything in him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, something would have happened.
He'd have been probably on the main roster already.
And the Royal Rumble booking.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Like you would have, if Vince actually saw something in him, there would have been a Brock Matt confrontation. Everything else, I think, is a work.
Eliminated in under a minute.
Yeah. So I think there might actually be a bit of a tug of war between Triple H and Paul Heyman over where Riddle goes. He's 34 years old.
Yeah.
You know, that's not... You, he's a great wrestler, but he's got this sort of youthful vibrancy about him. It's shocking to think he's 34. Not to say that's old, but...
I was going
to
say, I'm 34.
Well, exactly. But for Matt Riddle, who's stoner, bro, long hair... Am I 34 years old?
I had to really think about that for a second.
He does feel like a new, fresh talent in his mid-20s. But he's only got like 3-4 years of that.
Yeah.
He'll be 40 in 6 years.
Yeah, you can't be Michelangelo forever.
Yeah.
Eventually you have to become Donatello.
You have to put him on the main roster soon. Otherwise you are gonna miss the boat. Hopefully not, but the longer you delay it, the more risk you run of it not properly connecting. I don't know what really happens there. I think Matt Riddle to Raw. I think Paul Heyman wants him dearly, but he does hold the tag titles with Dunn.
Yeah, and I think we're definitely heading towards Dunn turning on Riddle and you do a program with them. And maybe like you kind of run that until, you know, the SummerSlam period, maybe even like into the Survivor Series period, and you bring Riddle up with a draft or you bring Riddle up maybe later on in the year.
I think Riddle Brock screams SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's a pretty good shout, yeah.
So maybe you could do it before then.
Or you do it at Survivor Series because like, you know, Brock and Survivor Series having a sort of like showcase matches.
The underlying issue of all of this, though, we were looking through the NXT roster before we started to sort of come up with these picks.
And there'll be people screaming this in the comment section.
Yeah.
You're gutting the NXT roster.
We're not saying all of these, we want all of these to happen. We're just suggesting possible ones that could and the ones that seem to make most sense to us. But NXT isn't as stacked as I thought it was. I was quite shocked.
And it is one of the criticisms I've seen lobbied against NXT since the TV era of it, is that this roster is now starting to feel, not stale is the wrong word, but I think that's a hyperbolic word, but it is starting to feel like we've seen this.
Mm.
And they're all sort of doing the stuff that we've already seen. Particularly, I've seen a lot of people very down on Ciampa Gargano.
Yeah.
Again, like, you know, this is... We've seen this before, just now with the roles are reversed. I'm actually quite for it.
Mm.
But having this sort of like big call up and forcing NXT to revamp itself and use some of these NXT UK guys and girls that you've got use that as your feeder system to like rebuild. We've seen it with Devlin coming over from NXT UK. He's now part of the NXT brand. There's so much good talent in NXT UK that should be in the NXT system. Ilya, for example. Ilya is being so wasted in NXT UK. You've got one of the like best talents you've got in the world and he's doing nothing. You put him onto NXT UK and you can really rebuild that. And essentially what NXT needs, it needs its new class.
Yeah. I was just looking at the NXT UK roster and all the people they've got signed. And it encapsulates all of Europe, really, because you've got A-Kid, Alexander Wolf. It's about the same amount as... And men's and women's, the same... Oh, no, not the women's. as the NXT roster.
Yeah.
Which is ludicrous. And you know, it's really done for cynical reasons in the NXT UK. It's to sign up talent to sort of suffocate the British independent wrestling scene.
And stop them going to other companies.
Yeah. So, yeah, the NXT UK is where NXT really should be looking to have their new class because of all the new recruits. Like, the days are gone, I think, of, oh, wow, Austin Aries is going to be in the next class, or, you know, big names from Ring of Honor or PWG, because they're going to debut on NXT directly, yeah, or they're going to go to AEW. But yes. Right, let's move on to AEW versus NXT.
Should we do some ratings?
Let's do some ratings. What is it good for? Hopefully, a respectful, critical discourse.
Yeah, which is not what you see if you look at the replies to Brian Alvarez's weekly tweets about the... It is like, if you want to see the worst of wrestling Twitter, is to look at those replies.
Should I have a look? So all he does is tweet.
He just tweets numbers.
The numbers. No opinion.
And there is always just like... Oh, we're killing NXT. We're winning the war. Oh, it's not as much as Raw gets. It's always quite bad.
Yeah, it's, well, there's NXT being super kicked by AEW on the Sammy Guevara, Matt Jackson spot.
Yeah.
But yeah, walk us through the thing.
So, well, it was a great week for both shows. Both shows up this week. Dynamite averaged 893,000 viewers, which is up 9% from last week and isn't too far off what they got for the whipping episode a couple of weeks back.
I don't think that's... Well, the big looming thing in the background is both shows were up against a juggernaut of the Democratic debates.
Which we'll come on to shortly.
Which was... actually the best match. Have you seen any of the highlights?
I have not, no.
Screw you, Bloomberg, is the fun thing there. It's a fatal four-way where all the baby faces team up against the heel. It's very cathartic.
So yeah, Dynamite was up 9% from last week, got a 0.31 in the 18 to 49 demographic, which is up 3% from the prior week, and it finished fifth in the cable TV ratings.
That's amazing.
Which is really good. And NXT was up 5% to 794,000 viewers and got a 0.25 in the 18 to 49 demographic, which is up 4% from last week. Finished 16th in the ratings. In fact, for NXT, aside from the unopposed show that they did on Christmas, it's the highest total viewership that NXT has had since late December.
It's a post-takeover episode.
Mid-December, yeah.
It's a pay-per-view bump, which Raw and SmackDown have managed to convince us all wasn't a thing anymore. But yeah, it is a definite trend for AEW and NXT. Post-pay-per-view, post-takeover, there's a ratings bump.
And and AEW won big in the 18 to 49 male demographic. So big, big night overall. But what was interesting about it is that for the first time, historically, you know, since October, NXT has always won the over 50 category. Like, that is their audience. Mm. It's this over 50 category. It's this sort of WWE, I grew up with this, I'm going to watch all the products that they put out. But this is the first time that AEW and NXT actually tied. And I think part of that is an older audience being excited for cage matches on TV. But also, as they wrote in the on Figure Four Daily, the Democratic debate likely hurts NXT more than AEW, given the debate did a monster rating in people over 50, the category that NXT usually wins. So those over 50s weren't watching wrestling. They were tuning in for the Democratic debate instead.
I think a lot of people were. I really, really wonder what the AEW viewership would have been if it wasn't for that. The Democratic debate's got about 20 million viewers. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Absolutely huge. But bigger than basketball, or, you know, almost double the figures of what Raw goes up against with the Monday Night Football stuff. So huge amount of viewers tuning in for that. And it's like, AEW at the start of the year had a 940,000 to 960,000 viewership range. That's what this show should have got. I even think with the cage match, this show should have got a million viewers.
Yep.
And I think maybe without the Democratic debates, they would have done that. Yep. It's only what is that? It's under 10% more viewers that they needed to get over that 1 million mark.
Yep.
But yeah, I think the debates hurt it. But we'll see next week. Go home show next week before Revolution. The show after that will be the post-Revolution show. I believe the show after that is potentially that New York show with Brody Lee's debut. There's the looming specter of Matt Hardy in there. They've got some, there's a lot of places they can go for views in this.
Yeah.
And Matt Hardy, you know, proven ratings draw.
Yeah, I mean, Impact's best ratings were the Matt Hardy-led Broken episodes. Like, when they essentially gave Matt, it's like, you do your show, you essentially take over this entire show. Those are the best ratings that Impact did.
And just 2 weeks ago, WWE rewrote all of their plans based on the Matt Hardy segment that drew so many viewers. But yes, again, as always, the best headline is, loads of people watched very, very high-quality wrestling on a Wednesday night.
Yes, love it. Absolutely love it. Right, take us through your favourite story of the week.
Two men and lambs! Two men and lambs!
It's a shameful thing! Lobster!
So, I wouldn't say this is my favourite story, but it's one that we missed, didn't get a chance to cover in the news and stuff. And it's Sheamus appeared on The Bump.
Yes.
Which is WWE's YouTube show.
Which I'm reliably informed is not Todd Grisham shouting at TNA fans.
And Sheamus was the interviewee, and he revealed that when he came back earlier this year, he wanted to use his old entrance music.
Yeah, the shameful thing, Lobsterhead song.
Which fans love to fill in their own lyrics for.
Too many limes.
Because it's quite incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. Two men and lambs! Two men and lambs!
I would say every couple of months, me and my friend text that to each other. If we're going shopping and I'm buying limes, I will take a photo of those limes and text it to him and say, I'm buying too many limes.
It's really funny, but it's also a banging song.
It's a banging tune, mate.
I do like, Sheamus has managed to have two actually very good pieces of entrance music, because I also like the dun, 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 dun. But yeah, Sheamus wanted his old theme music back. This is the quote. I actually wanted to have my original music back. I pushed for that. I pushed for that and I was denied. I wanted it. It's a shameful thing, Lobsterhead. Or whatever it is. People make up their own. Too many limes, too many limes. But he said the reason WWE denied that, the powers that be, he said, don't know who that is,
Vince.
I brought this to the powers that be, and they basically said they don't remember it.
100% Vince, then.
I was told they don't remember this song. They said it was outdated.
Well, it is 10 years ago.
Yeah, but his other tune, I would argue, is more generic Celtic stuff.
Yeah.
It is a shameful thing, Lobsterhead. I thought that would actually, but maybe it would give him a babyface pop coming back with that music.
It does feel quite like a babyface.
And he is a heel.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. It's just another example of WWE wrestlers actually voicing minor or larger frustrations with the company. You know, you mentioned Charlotte. We've had Becky Lynch with the pay stuff. And it's, you don't know what's kayfabe, what WWE have actually told their wrestlers to go, you know, be a bit more truthful in the interviews. We're giving you a bit more berth so you can make, so they're just not all copy and paste segments.
Yeah, well, apparently Naomi had an interview recently where she said that she requested to go to NXT. During that sort of like time when she was off for ages, she was asking, don't send me to either Raw or SmackDown, send me to NXT. Yeah. And I think she'd actually quite enjoy going down there for a bit. I think a lot of wrestlers would be like, it's almost like, that's why I said the Charlotte thing earlier. Mm. I think for her, it'd be like a breath of fresh air to go down again. So, my favorite story of the week is, I've watched the first two episodes of the Ruthless Aggression documentary series on the WWE Network.
I can't wait. I love, even if it is North Korean propaganda,
yep.
I love wrestling documentaries.
And I particularly love WWE's wrestling documentaries because they've got such incredible archive footage The people that they hire make such really good shows. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, the Ruthless Aggression era is not an era I'm particularly interested in because it was the era that made me stop watching wrestling. I was one of those lapsed fans that tuned out after when the Attitude Era ended.
Because there was the Ruthless Aggression era. That was only on SmackDown.
Well,
it was Raw was just dominated by Triple H.
But Raw was the kickstart of the Ruthless, because that's where Vince McMahon cut the Ruthless Aggression promo, and then Cena kind of sort of opted it for his promo. But it is a really interesting time to look back at it, because it is very much like they've positioned this to be like, this is when the stars we have now were born. because it's got all that OVW footage and it got interviews with Jim Cornette and stuff like that. So it is very interesting. It's not as good as the Monday Night War series that they did when the network launched, but I wanted to highlight my four favourite North Korea propaganda rewriting of history.
Lay them on me.
History is written by the winners and rewritten in this case. The first one is, so the second episode, I actually accidentally watched them out of order. I watched the John Cena episode first and then watched the first episode. But they talk about how Cena was booed, you know, and he was, the fans turned against him. But they quite rightly say that men didn't like him, kids and women did like him, and he shifted a load of merchandise. Like, that all is very true. And they said, going into his WrestleMania match with Triple H, when the crowd were really booing him. But the reason they were really booing him is because everyone in that time really loved Triple H. I was paused on the page like, huh, well, that's an interesting way of looking at it, I guess. And then, so they say, oh yeah, well, Triple H was just so beloved by fans that they had to boo John Cena, which is why they were against him. But the following year, when he headlined against Shawn Michaels, that turned the fans around. And then from then on, John Cena was cheered by everyone.
What?
Yeah, they really do position it as like, so he got booed by Triple H, he got booed against Triple H. But once he beat Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, that turned the tide.
Come on.
It's a very, very funny way of phrasing it. My other favorite, this is in the first episode, is that it's around the invasion. They talk about, you know, we bought all this WCW talent, didn't really know what we're going to do with it, but we were going to launch WCW Nitro. Now it's going to take over Raw, and SmackDown would become the WWF show, and we'd create our own little intercompetition. And then we had the show in Tacoma, the famous show in Tacoma, which was headlined by Buff Bagwell and Booker T for the WCW Championship, which the crowd turned on. Absolutely, the crowd turned on it. And they did present it as, this is Nitro. This is WCW. We have taken over Raw, and this is what we're doing. But the way that this documentary says is like, the crowd turned against it, and WCW was never heard from again. Like, that was the start of it. Like, that was the start of the invasion storyline that went through until Survivor Series that year.
It's just... And, you know, you're putting on a WCW match in front of the fans that you've taught for 5 years hate WCW.
Yeah.
And you expect them to cheer and not crap on it?
Yeah, they just... And it's weird because they don't talk about the invasion pay-per-view, despite the fact there is... the biggest non-WrestleMania pay-per-view they've ever done. They just pretend like that Tacoma match was the end of the invasion angle.
That's weird.
But my other favorite, and this is the last one I'll bring up, because this one really made me laugh, is they talk about how, man, we went through a really rough period because we lost Rock. Rock went to Hollywood. So, like, losing Rock, that's bad enough.
Yeah, yeah.
We also lost Austin.
Two of your biggest stars of all time.
The two biggest stars they had, they lost. And you know what? Ratings really went down, house show attendance really went down, merchandise really went down. But Vince McMahon is a genius. Vince McMahon made a change, and that change was dropping the F and turning it to WWE, and all the problems were solved.
No.
And attendance was back up, merchandise was fine, the ratings flew back up, and everything was grand.
You are kidding me.
That's pretty much how they position it. They changed the name. It was Vince McMahon's choice, and that's what turned the tide.
No. Good grief.
I know. As pandas go like, no, it was us. We made you change.
Yeah, just in case you don't know the story, the World Wildlife Fund, who have been in a legal battle with WWF at that point for ages, where it's WWFE, that was the agreed thing, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment, but Vince McMahon just decided to ignore that and called it WWF, and the actual WWF, like, stopped doing it.
Yeah. The agreement was, you are allowed to say World Wrestling Federation, but you cannot say WWF, because that's our trademark. We own those three letters in concurrency as a name. So they were like, okay, yeah, cool, we'll just call it the World Wrestling Federation. And then just kept saying WWF in everything.
It's such a... Vince McMahon way to do things. Yeah. Just trailblaze until you're legally stopped from doing it. Well, that's ridiculous.
But I cannot recommend you watch it enough. It's a fascinating documentary series anyway. The John Cena episode is really good, and the first episode is really good as well. I'm really enjoying the series.
How long is it? 10 episodes, like the Monday Night Wars, or is it shorter?
I don't know, because they're doing it week by week.
Oh, okay.
Like they did with the Monday Night War when you get in. So I don't know what like the next few episodes are, but the John Cena one is interesting because it's nothing you haven't heard before. But it is like all the prototype OVW footage they've
got. It's all in one place.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Indeed, if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledgehammers on Patreon at any dollar amount and leave your comment in the community section labeled mailbag. Do not email me, I will just lose it. This first one comes in from Chris Thorne, who says, this is more of a question for Luke since Ollie isn't a mark. Do you think the Undisputed Era should turn face before breaking up? They're definitely easy to cheer as heels, but I think they have a lot to offer the tag division without being in the title picture. But they've done everything there is to do two times over.
Yes. Yeah, that is a problem. I used to love Red Dragon as a sort of face team. They were sort of a badass face team. Adam Cole, that really does eventually have Shawn Michaels' babyface written over him. Roddy, another great babyface. They're all so good individually. But I think they should just go up to the main roster as a heel act and tell a heel story up there. 2 years down the line, that's when you turn the face.
Yeah,
and you can fracture people off.
You don't want to almost like Shield this, where you had like the Shield had their heel run, then they turned them babyface and then broke them up 3 months later. You want to turn them babyface and then have a long run as them with a group. But yeah, you can do that on the main roster. Okay, well, this is interesting. So last week we said this was from Bobo Jacobo, but he does clarify here. He says, hi, Luke, and not so virgin oil. Oil Ollie. Get it? It's an olive oil joke. I'm typing this right after hearing my mailbag question where I predicted you pronounced my name incorrectly. I do want to specify. He didn't spell it phonetically. He essentially set us up to fail there. When you pronounced it in English, it's actually supposed to be in Spanish. It's pronounced Bobo Jacobo.
Jacobo.
With more emphasis on the co, so Bobo Jacobo, Jacobo, Jacobo. See, my name is Jacob, or Jacob maybe. And my girlfriend, who is from Mexico, showed me this Mexican hard rock band called Molotov. They have a song called, can't say that, which roughly translates to, that doesn't make you stupid, Jacob. I know my name is basically self-deprecating as it calls me stupid Jacob, but it rolls off the tongue and most Americans have no idea what it actually means. Most English don't know what it means either. With that out of the way, my question is for Luke. Would you rather buy $150 or euro equivalent, pounds, pair of jogging bottoms once, or have to try on jeans before you buy them for the rest of your life? Try on jeans, that's an easy question.
And probably the better thing to, you should try the jeans on.
And the only reason I don't do it is because I'm lazy. And I've got no time for clothes shopping. Mm. I've got my one pair of jeans, they fit me. In probably, what, a year's time, I might have to replace these jeans. Mm-hmm. Then I'll, you know, or maybe I'll do that. P.S. I expect a lot of sarcastic banter from me in the future. Just so you know, none of it's serious. I truly respect and appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you very much.
Frank Botello. Hey, lads. No question after listening. No question. But after listening to the Magazine Show podcast with the Oscar talk, I just want to say I do agree with everything Luke said about the Oscars. I agree with the cynical talk on why Parasite won over 1917, which was the favorite to win. However, Parasite is the closest thing to a perfect movie, almost as good as Sonic, and did deserve to win. No one had a problem or raised an eyebrow in it winning. Just joy and happiness. With that said, the reason why I like the Oscars is why I predict winners like wrestling pay-per-views, like which actor not only gave a great performance, but knows board members, like Laura Dern, played a character that has never given an Oscar to Renee Zellweger. Or throws Oscar after parties every year like Elton John. These type of things influence my predictions and win at the Oscar prediction party with my friends. Ugh. Here's to more great movies being recognized or not.
That's good. Yeah, like you look at the political backstage maneuvering behind the Oscars as well.
Yeah.
That is fun. I never really thought about it like that.
No, I mean, it's very clear for the Golden Globes because literally the studios buy those nominations. But yeah, I think that's a lot of fun.
I saw Parasite over the weekend. I thought it was very good. But that's it.
I got dibs. My best friend, brother, and I have been huge wrestling fans since 1986, and this weekend's NXT TakeOver Portland will be my first live show. I've taken two signs, and one of them is a lovingly hand-painted Support WrestleTalk sign with a WrestleTalk logo, and the other is the BUS and Dibs are NXT. I want to send pictures so you can keep an eye out for them. Where shall I send them to? Well, he sent them to us on Twitter. I think we featured them on our social media this week.
That's awesome. Yeah. To be your first ever live wrestling show. What a show. Crowd you were.
Sean Dunn, hey guys, crazy prediction for AEW Revolution. Brandi turns on Cody.
No.
Brandi begins her rise to power in AEW. No. Also, Dark Order capture Luchasaurus and make him Dark Lucha, or Luchasaurus is the exalted one. Do you have any crazy predictions for a Revolution?
No, I don't actually. Oh, well, Matt Hardy won't be able to turn up. It's like, unless... They won't overrun till past midnight because technically the 1st of March is when he could appear.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll run a video promo for him.
Yeah, that'll do like a big tease for like, you know, just with that laugh. Chris Gardner, hey guys, but just listening to the Elimination Chamber 2014 review. Insert shameless plug for the Patreon.
Shameful.
I was wondering, what is the biggest death spot on a show? For me, it's got to be trying to follow Rock and Hogan at Mania.
I thought you meant like when Sammy Guevara leapt into the Matt Jackson superkick for death.
Because we were talking about it with the AJ Lee and Cameron. Like that match was designed to fail because they had to follow the Shield Wyatts.
It's hard to pick one off the top of my head. Was it Triple H, Randy Orton after Taker and Michaels?
That's what I was just looking for, because it was WrestleMania 25, wasn't it?
That was a huge mistake.
Oh no, it was they had John Cena, Big Show and Edge in the triple threat, and then Triple H, Randy Orton. And that Triple H, Randy Orton match is effing boring.
Yeah, and because everyone was emotionally drained by Taker Michaels there.
Yeah. And totally like Rock and Hogan should have headlined WrestleMania X8. Like that is beyond obvious at this point. Mr. Mini Donuts, hello to everyone at Rest Talk, except for Randy, and hope you're all having a big one.
Big one.
My question is, who do you think on the WWE roster, including NXT, has the potential to be the next wrestler to break into the mainstream, like John Cena, The Rock, and Stone Cold Hogan? For my money, it's Matt Riddle. I thought it could have been The Fiend, but then Hell in a Cell happened.
Yep.
I don't think The Fiend could have been a mainstream star.
I disagree. I think he was already starting to cross over into that.
Yeah.
I really felt like he could be a breakout star just because he was ticking so many boxes. But yeah, you're right. Hell in a Cell really has killed him. I don't think he's recovered. Matt Riddle. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think Keith Lee is someone you could because like he's like a spectacle figure. He's also a really good-looking dude. He's got charisma out the wazoo. He could be an absolute top star in that company and really be like magazine covers, films, all that jazz. Really think it could be him. Alex Davey, well, it happened. It will be 4 years near SummerSlam time that I started watching WrestleTalk, and I'm now a proud pledgehammer.
Not really sure
why it took me for so long, but at least I'm here now. There are several reasons why I love WrestleTalk. Firstly, of course, it's a lovely time with the boys. Goes without saying, really. Secondly, the chemistry between the presenters, especially Luke and Ollie, make everything about pro wrestling, even the duller parts, very listenable. Finally, because I studied politics at uni, I love listening and finding out what goes on in the background of the industry, and because Ollie is completely right in his obsession with it, business, business, business. Please give me more of that sweet, sweet politics viewing figures profit chat. So interesting to me. Anyway, no question included. Just wanted to say hello from here in Yorkshire. And thank you for the near 4 years I've watched and listened to WrestleTalk. You guys are the most consistently consistent podcast on the interweb. Thank you. I love you. Goodbye.
And that's all we aim to be. Not the best, but just the most consistent in uploads. I feel like we're back on the consistency wagon.
Completely.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I love most about the mailbag as well?
Uh-huh.
It's always questions from podcast listeners.
Yeah.
The best ones. Nicholas Walton, what if we're meant to see the terrible punch guy? Sorry, what if we were meant to see the terrible punch guy from the Dark Order? What if Dustin Rhodes is the exalted one? I know this isn't true, but what if it was? What if AEW management anticipated the internet would pick up on this and decided to use it as a storytelling device?
Yeah, well, the Raven example is very, very, like, what you've described is what they've done with Raven on this week's episode, which really is stunning. I don't think it is the case with the previous one because you're essentially drawing attention to wrestling not being real. You're opening up that debate.
Well, no, but the argument they're making is that this guy was purposefully missing him.
Pulling the punches.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it. No.
Tom Delves, hey, dude, and Plumpy. I don't know who that is.
Yeah,
never heard of
Blumpy.
It. Oh, Blumpy A?
Blumpy A.
Oh, okay. Could you see the Otis storyline ending in a Tucker heel turn? Heavy Machinery go on a tear, destroying everyone they face as they find out who it was that find out who texted Otis. Eventually, it's found out that Tucker asked Dolph to because he thought Otis was too distracted by Mandy. This leads to a WrestleMania match where Otis finally beats Tucker and we get the Mania 8 Elizabeth Savage spot. Much love from New Zealand.
I don't hate it. I actually think it's quite a good storyline, but you know, way too early in Heavy Machinery's run to do that.
I actually disagree. I think that Otis is already breaking out from that group, right, from that team. And so you can just ride this momentum now. Reveal that it was Tucker that sent Dolph to in his place.
It feels like an Enzo Big Cass situation to me, where I'm not invested enough in the Tucker-Otis relationship.
Yes, true.
To care about that turn yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. Flaming Live, I've had many debates on crowd chants and people saying, I bought a ticket, I can say and do whatever I want, but I feel there are things you can and cannot do. I'm sure fans around certain people will police themselves, i.e. can't start Nazi chants, but you can call a match ball S-word. Two questions. What do you think are the rules of crowd chants? And two, do you think that fans should be more respectful like in New Japan?
I'll answer two first. That's a cultural thing. Japanese fans don't actually make that much noise because they're appreciating the wrestling. It's fascinating as a cultural difference, but I don't think that contributes to I always think a hot crowd can bring so much more to a match.
And that's really changed over the years in New Japan as sort of like as wrestling, the Western side of wrestling has sort of like really influenced Japanese wrestling. And where their wrestling crowds. So where like wrestling crowds used to be like silent during matches with polite applause, they are now quite loud and they will do chants and they will really get into sort of the drama of the matches, which I think has only heightened New Japan matches more.
Yeah. And on number one, the rules of crowd chants. Yeah, just Progress has got their don't be a dick thing. And yeah, so don't say anything actually nasty, like homophobic, racism, misogynistic. Don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, transphobia, that
but the,
sort of stuff.
But the rest of it will kind of self-police itself because a chant has to be more than one person.
Yeah.
So it's up to the rest of the crowd whether it's good enough. You know, like free market. It's free market capitalism in its purest sense, a chant getting over.
Drew Porter says, hey guys, I was just wondering, with Elimination Chamber coming up, which is personally my favourite WWE stipulation, but my favourite of all time is Ultimate X, which Impact used to do phenomenally. So my question is, what's your favourite stipulation and why?
Ladders.
TLC.
Is it you as well?
Oh, TLC was always mine. Like, TLC matches used to get me legit, excited.
Hell in a Cell as well, but that's been really overbooked.
Callum, in December, I used to watch one TV show. In December, I decided to watch one TV show each month. In December, I watched Lost. January, it was The Office, the US version. February, it was The Good Place. I just wanted to know what I should watch next. Also, what's your opinions on the shows above?
Wow, you stormed through a lot of stuff. Lost was really the first proper TV show I ever got into, and it's a really historically important moment in actually TV programs where they've made. But I hate it. I hate it with every fibre of my being, just the way they never had plans for anything. I love The Office, US. Mm-hmm. I'm watching that currently. I haven't finished it yet. Good Place, yeah? I haven't finished that either. You have.
I have. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, really, really like it. I love seeing Chidi pop up in other things now. Yeah. Oh, it's Chidi!
So Lost, the first season of that started before I went to university, I think. It was in my first year of university that Lost came out. Might be my second year. Either way, I remember getting obsessed with that first season and being like, wow, this is really, really cool. Mm. And then I watched the first episode of series two and be like, oh, this show has no direction because they're just asking more questions, not answering any of the ones we've already set up. And I just completely fell out with it.
Yeah.
I think the US Office is okay. And I think The Good Place is as close to a perfect television show as you're going to get.
Mm. What should they watch next?
Twilight Zone.
Parks and Rec, if you haven't.
Parks and Rec.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Marmaduke, could you? Sorry. Hello, WrestleTalk. I have a question for you. I heard in one of your latest podcasts that wrestlers like the Undisputed Era, Lee, Bianca, and Rhea should go to Raw or SmackDown, which is interesting because that's what today's topic is. But is this the right move to do if they want to establish NXT as a third brand? If they, example, go in the next 2 to 3 months, I don't think NXT can be the same quality as it is right now. In my opinion, NXT should be treated as the other brands in the draft. Wrestlers come to their brand and some of the names will leave for the other brands. Thank you for your work. Support WrestleTalk.
Yeah, totally agree. That's the way to do it, actually. We were talking about NXT potentially being gutted. Move those underutilized Raw SmackDown stars to NXT.
Yeah.
Refresh them. You've now got a territory system at your disposal where you can move people around to freshen up their gimmicks.
Completely. Nathan Barnes. Hey guys, with Elimination Chamber approaching next month and your recent review of the 2014 edition dropping on Patreon in the last few days, I've been thinking about how WWE's big marquee gimmick matches, namely the Chamber, Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, could play a more collective role in determining the top contender matches at WrestleMania. Now, he goes into quite a big... I've had to shorten this down. I'm very sorry, Nathan. But essentially, he points out Survivor Series means nothing, but he suggests the winning team in Survivor Series qualifies for the Elimination Chamber, so they make up the five, and they go against that brand's champion inside the chamber.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that gives Survivor Series stakes.
Oh, I love that.
I really like it as well. Yeah. He says this would serve to make the Royal Rumble winner's choice of champion even more interesting. They could either pick a champion they know will still hold the belt at Mania, or run the risk of picking a champion who may lose the belt to one of the other five competitors.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. You've effectively made Survivor Series through to Mania. But you've extended the build. That's a great idea.
That's what he says here. The run of huge marquee matches from November through to WrestleMania has more stakes and interconnectivity, which would make for more engaging and allow for booking of better feuds and stipulations. Yeah. He also adds, really enjoyed seeing the channel and community grow over the years, and you're killing it more and more these days. Long may it continue. Nathan, that is an ace idea. Mm. Love it. David McKinnon, why people don't stop attacks?
Mm.
It's not perfect, but here's my logic from when I was younger that I still hang on to. Wrestlers have a schedule if you're American. Example, Edge addresses the WWE Universe. That's his schedule for that day. If that's at the start of the show, you know you don't need to be there. Sorry, if that's at the start of the show, you know you don't need to be there for it. And if it's the end of the show, you know you can leave early. Also means people that show up late know they're not on until the main event. Also helps with why people show up early. I see Seth has a promo. I'll show up early to deal with him.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But whatever helps you make sense of the inconsistencies.
Ked, what's up, WrestleTalk? With this year's Mania being pirate-themed and next year's being Hollywood, what ridiculous scene would you give WrestleMania 38?
Jurassic Park!
I didn't think you were going to go there. But do you know what my thought was? Future.
Space!
Yeah, exactly, like future sci-fi.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Ryan Penn, if you could get a ticket to any show or event, what would you want a ticket to?
Should we do it at the same time?
Yep.
3, 2, 1,
All
Royal
in.
Rumble. Oh. I thought we were going to say Royal Rumble.
Well, if it's a future event, then yeah. But if like a past event...
I see.
Being a part of that all-in crowd would have been amazing. Right. But if I could pick any
WWE... ECW One Night Stand?
Oh, yeah, yeah, good shout. Yeah, if I could pick any current WWE show to go to, it would definitely be the Rumble. That guy who wants to support. Hello there, you lovely and ever-expanding WrestleTalk crew. Do you think that AEW not doing a show over WrestleMania weekend is a good or a bad thing? Have a nice conversation and great weekend. P.S. Where did Chopper learn those sweet, sweet moves?
Dance, Chopper.
I don't think it's... I think it's actually the smart thing to do. If they were to do it, they would instantly be criticised for trying to capitalise on WWE's popularity. In the same way that if WWE or NXT tried to run a show in Chicago over All Out weekend, they would be criticised for trying to capitalise on AEW's popularity. So I think actually just keeping them separate, I think AEW should, you know, invite more companies to run shows around that All Out weekend and make it like wrestling. Because that's what WWE were trying to shut down. There was a period a couple of years ago when WWE wanted WrestleMania to be the only show on in a weekend, and they were asking venues to not book wrestling shows in a certain radius because they didn't want it to be this big wrestling carnival. I think AEW should 100% embrace that. A cheeky pint with the boys, Leroy. Hi, Luke and Ollie. Thank you for the belated engagement congratulations last week. Still not married, but it is my fiance's birthday this week, so many cheeky pints will be had. Ooh. My question is, when you live stream WrestleMania this year, will you go all out and dress as pirates?
Probably not. It's a long show,
yeah.
And cheap costumes are itchy and not that breathable.
Austin Tusty, hey guys, with all the title matches for Mania seeming to be in place, what do you think will be the best use for Seth? Do you think they will keep up the Owens and Joe thing until Mania or something new? Personally, and I cannot believe how much I'm going to agree with this, Austin.
No.
I think renewing his feud with Triple H would be cool. Triple H doesn't have anything for Mania at the moment either. Seth could go over, and then after that, Triple H could use the there's always a plan B line we use with Seth, turn on the shield, and set up Seth versus Buddy Murphy.
I don't like it. I think Seth and Buddy needs to be together for a lot longer. I'm cool with not having a Triple H match at Mania.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind not having a 25-minute lumbering match on the show.
With a 15-minute entrance. Jobber JJ, hello Swamp Nation and WrestleTalk crew. Finally got to listen to your Survivor Series 97 podcast you did for Patreon. Luke did a fantastic job on gathering all that information. It deserves 5 stars.
Yeah.
You talked about Brett asking Bischoff to delay the move to WCW to finish up with the WWF. Watching a few of the Nitros, they obviously talk about the screw job. The next night they have a ton of Canadian flags, they sing the national anthem in heel fashion, and next week sign Rick Rude, they bury Sean and Brett, and they call Brett a knockout kind of guy. So my question is, after the screw job, why didn't WCW ask Brett to start on the original date? P.S. It's amazing how in both WCW and WWF, his career ended with screwjobs. Mm. Have a thumbs up party. Simply, they couldn't. There was a contractual thing. He could not start until that contract had finished. That's why WWF's rewritten history of he would have shown up the next night on Nitro is bogus.
Yeah.
Because it couldn't have happened.
And they could have just played the big money move. Let's do it anyway. But they had just lost the other WWF versus WCW court case.
Yeah. Dylan Tyrrell Reeve. Hey, guys. I'm back again after a two-week hiatus from switching jobs, but Dylan Tyrrell Reeve, a.k.a. Dylan from Cork, or whatever the Rebel Swaster is back. People from Cork will understand that last one. I'm writing this no more than 15 minutes after I finished my great wrestling class with Irish promotion Phoenix Wrestling. I was wondering, did you guys ever consider becoming a pro wrestler when you were younger or do any training?
Every single day. I can't believe this now. When I was a teenager, between the ages of 11 to 15, I would do 150 sit-ups a day.
Wow.
Looking back, they weren't right. But I wasn't actually doing sit-ups.
Yeah.
And then I would eat 8 rounds of peanut butter sandwiches.
Wow.
So I thought I needed to bulk up and get bigger. And I didn't know anything about nutrition. The internet wasn't, I didn't know how it worked. So yeah, my whole childhood I wanted to be a wrestler. And then I tried it when I was 25 and I hit my head and it scared me and I'm never gonna do it again.
And you couldn't get the international right?
Yes, yeah.
You told me that story that you got him into the headlock and you couldn't remember the next bit of it, so you were just like, I'm just really wrenching in that headlock.
Yeah, and I thought, I'll get over with the character. And I was like, I'm the headlock master. 6 months before Owen started doing it.
Yeah. I always wanted to be a wrestler. Did a lot of backyard wrestling because that was the cool thing to do in the early 2000s and sort of like the late 90s, early 2000s. And I've got a very bad back because of it, because I did it all unprotected and was not trained, like a lot of backyard wrestlers. Anyway, Cody Rose, is there any chance of getting an ad-free version of the audio podcast on Patreon?
No. Yeah. It's too difficult to do.
And also, it's only like one ad
in
there. And Jonathan Hedman, which is the better Adam and the Ants? Which is better, Adam and the Ants or solo Adam Ants? Also, which version of Ant Rap is better, the version with or without the harpsichord?
Jonathan Hedman, this is some deep Adam and the Ants lore.
Yeah.
I love Adam and the Ants. Like, top five of all time for me.
This is a question for you then, my
I
man.
I would say Adam Ant solo.
Give us some recommendations for solo
Goody Ants. Goody Two Shoes.
Mm-hmm. Is it an album or is it a...
That is
well, a, my Adam and the Ants knowledge the is not Ants. That big.
My Adam and the Ants, I was obsessed with him as a teenager again. So I am super behind. He actually released a solo album like 5-6 years ago. It was not that bad. He's a genius. It's a shame that his sort of addiction issues got the better of him. He's not dead or anything, but he's very creatively crazy. But Ant Rap with the harpsichord.
Because I knew this question was coming up, I intended to listen to some Adam and the Ants so I could give some some feedback onto this.
I'm going to listen to Adam and the Ants all day now.
But disappointingly, I just listened to Nirvana the entire way in. Salamat Ali, this is our last question. Hey guys, I think AEW Revolution is going to be one of the best wrestling shows ever in the modern era, storyline-wise.
Wow.
I'm more excited about this show than I was for NXT TakeOver Portland, but remember, they aren't competition. The reason I'm so excited for this show is because every match feels big time and has had so much build and hype around it because each feud has had great build and storyline behind it, which has been continuously spinning. I don't know what match I'm most excited for. Cody versus MJF, Moxie versus Jericho, Bucks versus Omega and Paige, Sammy versus Darby, Dustin versus Hager. Every one of these matches feels like such a big deal and I can't wait to see how they play out. Do you guys agree that AEW Revolution is one of the best built up to AEW pay-per-views they've ever done? Every feud has a great storyline behind it and it makes the matches even more exciting. I can't wait. I've already bought the pay-per-view and 29th of February cannot come quickly enough. I don't think I've ever been as excited about a wrestling pay-per-view as I have for this one.
I'm so happy for you, Salamat Ali, that you're into AEW this much. And I'm right there with you. As you were saying it, top to bottom, I cannot think of a show that has been this well built, ever.
Yeah.
You know, even like the Wrestle Kingdoms, there's a few matches on there where you're like,
hmm. Yeah. And it's not a slight against what NXT and WWE are doing. And I don't think this is mostly NXT's fault. It's just that I think, particularly on the main roster, someone pointed this out quite recently. Now, Raw has got one show between Super Showdown and Elimination Chamber. So effectively, they've got to build three shows at the same time, which really stifles a lot of the storylines they're trying to do. And Laurie and Pete have been saying the big problem with NXT Portland was they had to do World Collide, which kind of stopped all the build they were doing for Portland. Whereas AEW, they've just got the one show to focus on. So they can build. They've been building from Full Gear to Revolution. They'll build from Revolution to All Out. To Double or Nothing, from Double or Nothing to All Out.
Well, I would actually, Full Gear through to the end of 2019, I wouldn't count.
No.
But everything since the start of this year for Revolution has really been exceptional, particularly the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is that I think the build should have been from Full Gear through to Revolution. Mm. But that Full Gear through to the end of the year, as you said, I don't think was... It's basically been the January reset has really, really helped to build for Revolution.
And it's remarkable, because I always thought wrestling promotions... Ideally, every 4 to 6 weeks needed to run a big show. And AEW has completely changed my mind on that.
Mm.
I thought I'm much proud. Yeah, a lot of pod swafters represented in the mailbag portion of the show.
Love it, love it, love it. It's our most dedicated audience.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Because we're coming into their ears hard.
Oh, coming
three times a week.
I actually did this on the old Twitterverse the other day because we've got a new social media manager, folks.
She's amazing.
She's doing absolutely amazing work. And she put up a tweet on the WrestleTalk account that's being like, hey, if you like WrestleTalk, you should download the podcast. And there's a picture of you wearing a Support WrestleTalk t-shirt pulling a silly face. And it's an excellent tweet. An excellent tweet, and I was like, so I just retweeted it saying, coming in your ears. It was just one of my favourite Peter Kay jokes from the Phoenix Knight days.
Chorley FM.
Yes. And a lot of people was like, I don't think you realised how explicitly sexual that sounds. And I'm like, oh, I mean, that's the joke, though.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you don't understand the reference, which I'd imagine a large portion of our American audience wouldn't understand the reference, that's fine. But to not understand that I did it on purpose.
Mm.
To be like, I don't know if you know this, but that sounds Sounds quite sexual when you say it that way.
Maybe sometimes people know that and they point out the fact that you've made the joke as kind of a joke themselves. You know what I mean?
No, I think these people were very earnest. Some people were like, oh, I'd rethink the wording of that.
I don't know if you know, Luke, but you've implied that you and Ollie are jizzing in people's faces.
Specifically, their ears.
Yeah. Any orifice.
Yeah, so thank you all so much for being one of the best elements of the SWAF Nation.
Yeah.
I personally believe, anyway. Speaking of...
Do you reckon they'll be overrepresented in the WrestleTalk live show?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think we should have Podswafter t-shirts that people could wear that says, I am a Podswafter.
Or maybe we could do a bit, because, you know, folks, we've gone over it so many times, it's worth doing it again. There is a live WrestleTalk podcast before the wrestling show on Monday the 16th of March. Get your tickets from WrestleTalkLive.com.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's going to be us five, me, Luke, Laurie, Pete, Adam Blompier.
We need to stop making him sound like such a big deal.
Oh, do you not think he is?
Yeah, no.
The subs don't lie.
I just think, you know, he's the newbie. Mm. You know, and we always haze, apart from Laurie, we always haze the noobs.
Do you reckon Andy was like, yes, I'm finally not going to be hazed anymore. And Pete joins. And then it's still Andy who gets hazed.
Yeah.
Adam joins. It's still Andy that gets hazed. But yes, maybe we could do a thing there. We'll just be like, just a show of real life analytics.
Yeah.
Who is a podswafter here?
I like it.
And then like some people might not even know what podswafter means.
Mm, interesting. Introduce them to a whole new realm of this amazing universe we've created.
We could do a sleeper agent thing where we decide on a word right now.
Okay. Yeah.
And we'll say it in a few more podcasts leading
like
up.
Yes.
Only podcast part only, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we drop it in the live show,
mm-hmm.
all of the podswafters have to do something who are in attendance.
I like it.
To confuse a lot of people.
Yeah. You know, I was just looking around the set, and I was trying to think of what it could be. The first thing I saw was Bailey Bear.
Bailey Bear?
Bailey Bear.
Bailey Bear. And what would the people do when they hear Bailey Bear?
Well, oh, so you mean like doing it during the live show?
Yeah.
I thought what you meant was more that when people like come up to us, because we're just going to be milling around, they just like, rather than say, I'm a fan of your consistent content, or you are broadly fine, they would just shake our hands and go, Bailey Bear.
Bailey Bear. And we'll say, a Bailey Bear. It's like, the greater good.
It's like our Hail Hydra.
Yes, Bailey Bear, yes. There are so many ways you can do it. Well, the creepiness of the secret handshake is up to you guys.
Yeah.
It's open for interpretation, but we will try and reciprocate it as best we can.
Yeah.
The only criteria is that you must say Bailey Bear.
And during the live show, if we say Bailey Bear, you've all got to say, like, almost like Hail Hydra back, Bailey Bear.
Do you think, so Luke just did two fists, hands up.
Like the Hail Hydra.
I think it should be more like a We the
People. Oh, We the People.
So
yeah.
One hand over the heart.
You stand up and say,
Bailey Bear.
Oh, this live show's going to be fun.
Bailey Bear. Well, if we remember this.
Yeah. Or if anyone does.
it could get to Tuesday's Raw Review. We would have totally forgotten about it. Be like, what's all this email correspondence about?
It'll end up being like...
I'm going to write it down.
It'll end up being like the last Prince Charles show that we did with the King Me instruction that you wanted to do. Which never happens in the movie.
Because it's the wrong word. It's Crown Me.
Right, so while Ollie writes that down, I've got a...
Ooh, when I write bear into my phone, it gives me the option
Port.
Of a bear emoji.
Oh.
So I'm going to put that there. Bailey Bear.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could have emojis in my little to-do app. Todoist. If anyone needs a good to-do app, I've gone through a lot of them. Todoist is the one.
Do you know who's
Wouldn't you agree?
Do you know who's just got onto Todoist?
Hopefully Pete.
My wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She joined the Todoist train.
She has,
Is it working out for her?
Yeah, she is. She loves it. And also, That's I good. Hope it's Pete as well, the unorganised mess that he is.
If I have to ask him... To do the thumbnail on Sunday morning once more time, Pete.
Right, do you want an email about blue-collar dream jobs?
Yes.
This one comes in from Mark, who said, my dream job is something that doesn't seem interesting to many people, but as a musician, I think you will get it. bearing in mind I'm a drummer, not a musician. I would love to open a musical rehearsal studio, but this one would be so unique as it would be free from damp and not make you smell like and not make your gear smell like an antique after a couple of hours. Something I've never experienced from a rehearsal space before. Love the extended outro talking about jeans and joggers. Now if you could extend the intro and cut out all that wrestling flop in the middle, everyone will be happy. Thanks for the great concept, Rockstar Dougal.
You one day, maybe, you know, 10 years from now, maybe we do just do a podcast.
It stops being the WrestleTalk podcast and just becomes Luke and Ollie chat.
No, just podcast. Listen to the podcast.
Yeah, like it.
Yeah, I like that. I imagine Abbey Road doesn't have damp in.
No.
I think there probably are
Maid of Ale
rehearsal studios that don't have damp. I think that's more of a budgetary thing than it is a business model thing.
I cannot tell you the amount of times I walked. So we used to, our old rehearsal space, it was run by this lovely lad, but he really reminded me of James Franco's character in Pineapple Express. Like, he sounded the same as him, had the same hair, was like a proper stone thing, but a very good businessman. In the sense that he would ask you for your money at the end of the session, and if you said, can I pay you next week? He'd be like, that's fine, but I am going to write it down.
Mm.
So he never forgot.
That's called accounting.
It is. It's very, very good. But the amount of times we would walk into a space, one of the rooms, there was only three rooms, and it would stink to high heaven because the previous people in there would have been big, burly, sweaty men or other forms of sweaty men getting all sweaty in there. Because it was always metal bands that were in there and they were just like thrashing around hard. So it would just be this really sweaty space. And I'll be honest, we contributed to that. Because if we had the early slot, you know, if the 7 till 9 slot, we would also sweat that place up. And then the other people had to come in and be like, whoa! And we had to go, sorry, it smells in here well bad. But we are sweaty people.
Very rarely has windows or ventilation, from what I've seen.
Oh, then no, these are all like closed off areas.
And I've seen pictures of you when I never sadly got to see you perform. I think I was busy on your farewell gig.
Yeah.
But you would go topless.
I would, because I'd get too hot.
Too sweaty.
Too sweaty under all the lights and everything.
Just a year and a half ago, WrestleTalk emanated from one of these places.
That's right, it did, yeah.
In between the roof of our old studio collapsing and this lovely new place, we were for about a month in the recording studio down my road.
But the one that we actually did
that
the
felt damp.
The one we actually recorded in did have an annoying skylight because we would always record the Wrestle Ramble at about midday, right when the sun was at its apex and shining in on us.
We'd set the white balance for a normal room. And it would slowly look like an atomic bomb had been let off.
And it was slowly.
It was slowly blowing out the camera.
Yeah. On the subject of joggers, I've been meaning to bring this up with you all week. I think I've turned a corner. So, my wife and I were watching Sunday Brunch, and Katie Wicks, comedian Katie Wicks, was on there, who I think is awesome. I think she's so, so funny. I loved her on Taskmaster, and I really love her in Stathlet's Flats. And she was on there, and my wife turned to me and said, what do you think of those posh joggers that she's wearing?
Does your lady partner know of the raging debate about joggers?
Yeah, and I don't think she cares enough to kind of get involved. I don't think she likes them is sort of the big takeaway of it, though. And I said, I didn't even see that those were joggers. Those just looked like trousers.
Yes.
So I've now realized what my issue was. You were just wearing jogging bottoms. Simon is just wearing jogging bottoms. You're not wearing proper posh joggers. Because the proper posh joggers are the ones that cost like 80 quid or 100 quid. And I think those are the ones that actually...
You've gone too far the other way!
But what my point was, those are the ones that actually look like trousers, but are jogging bottoms. Whereas what you and Simon are doing is just wearing jogging bottoms and saying, these are posh now.
They are not... Yes, we are... Well, this is it. I went for the interim step. I went for the £20 smartish joggers.
But not they're not
the
smartish.
£80.
They're not
they
smartish.
Are much better
no,
than normal
not.
Joggers.
They just look like jogging bottoms.
Oh, I've got worse joggers. You'll be like, you should be on a sofa. If I came in my grey jogging bottoms...
And I didn't want to say this to you, mate, but when you have worn these quote-unquote posh joggers, you look like you should be on a sofa.
Dare you. How dare you?
They are not.
He of three-quarter length denim jeans.
I don't have denim jeans. I do not have jorts, but I do have my... I don't have jorts.
The short ends below the knee.
Those aren't jorts. Those are three-quarter lengths.
Oh,
I do have three-quarters.
The fact that we're having a debate means they're jorts.
They're not jorts. They're not jean shorts.
They could be wider, you're right.
Oh,
they could fan more.
There was I was watching an episode of Games Master for my podcast, and there was a guy who came down, and he was wearing three-quarter length tartan shorts. And I was like, that's literally my style. That's what I want to be wearing. He had that and a really baggy Cypress Hill t-shirt on. And I was like, that's what I want to look like. Mm. But I can't because I'm nearly 35 and it's not 1994 anymore. It's 2020 or whatever. So that's I've turned a bit of a corner on these posh jobs.
Okay.
I now half see the appeal because if you are spending 100 quid on them, and they do look like trousers, then that's probably fine because I didn't realise that she was wearing joggers. However, I still think that is a silly amount of money to spend on a pair of trousers.
Okay, so we just made the issue more confusing.
Did we?
I don't know. I don't know where you stand anymore. And now I feel a bit sad.
Why?
You don't like my jogging bottoms. You think they're unacceptable for work.
Even though
you said that I could wear whatever I wanted.
I didn't say they were unacceptable for work because they're perfectly acceptable for work. I just don't think they look like trousers.
Okay.
That's my point. We had, you forwarded me an email from Rachel, who said you should have people submit their own ideas for Hollywood movie vignettes on your WrestleTalk Live episodes. I did think a few when you brought it up that WrestleMania is taking place in Hollywood next year.
Some of these are really good.
So the trailer scene in Kill Bill Volume 2 with Becky as Beatrix and Charlotte as L Driver monologuing then fighting.
Yeah, that's such an obvious one. I don't know how we didn't think of that.
Storm drain scene from It with Bray Wyatt and Shorty G.
That is brilliant.
The interrogation scene from The Big Lebowski with Buddy Murphy getting his head shoved in a toilet.
I really like that.
Yeah. Baron Corbin is the King of Straights in the Red Wedding from Game of Thrones. That's where you've gone off. That's TV.
That's TV.
And Seth Rollins doing the Big Lou scene from Fight Club with Samoa Joe as Big Lou.
The Big Lou scene is where he's going round in the kitchen and telling everyone to...
Yeah, his name was... Oh, what was his name? His name
was Meatloaf.
Robert Paulson.
Yes.
His
name good memory.
Is Robert Paulson. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you got any others? Well, I guess people send in your submissions.
Indeed.
For wrestler Hollywood promos for next year's WrestleMania.
You might recall an email we had in from Dan a few whiles back that said, greetings from Baltimore. Hey Luke, the rest of the Brave Boys at WrestleTalk. I'm emailing you late as a follow-up to an email I sent about a month ago or so about WWE changing their belts from the buttons to Velcro straps. Do you remember this?
No.
And we said, we've not noticed the difference. He said, I've sent some pictures to point it out. My reason for the email is to get your opinion on this because, frankly, I hate it. I know it's such a small detail and most haven't noticed or really don't care. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I think he means soapbox, but I prefer soapbox. And thank you to answer my question. Wish you all the best of luck and thank you for providing such an excellent service. And he has sent some pictures. There is Becky Lynch holding the belt. And as you can see, like, they haven't got the poppers on the back.
But they have got the poppers on the inside.
Yeah. And you can see...
Oh. Yeah, there's Seth holding his Universal title. So that was a while ago. So you've got the poppers on the front, but they're just vanity poppers.
What I'm trying to work out is whether they are just vanity poppers and it is like a Velcro thing as opposed to it being like the studded belts that we've got.
You're right. I don't like that.
I mean, I don't like it either, but I've also never noticed it.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to affect me day to day, but I do think it's tacky.
But maybe that's all we'll see now.
Oh, no, it's going to be one of those things where Dan's ruined it for
everyone. Oh, Dan.
Dan's ruined it for everyone.
Oh, we've bit him from the apple of knowledge.
What are your plans for the weekend before we get out of here?
Well, me and you, tomorrow, you said it's business, business, business. I more see it as... algorithmic learning, which is we're going to VidCon.
Yeah, not as like the celebrities
not as
they go there.
Featured speakers.
No, absolutely not. No, we're going there to learn how YouTube works from Gen Xers and baby boomers, who are then going to try and tell us how, as millennials, how to appeal to Gen Zers.
You do say that, but I've been multiple years now. This is the first time I'm bringing other people with me.
Yeah.
So we all become knowledgeable.
Exactly. Pete is there today on his own. Taking notes, I hope.
Yeah, I told him yesterday, you better take an analog pen and paper.
Yeah.
He was like, I was just going to do it on my laptop.
Don't be
clickety-clacking away.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
It'll probably just be playing Overwatch. But when I went last year, everyone on the panel was under 20. And it made me feel like a piece of crap.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, that's going to be worse.
Yeah, so it will usually be a 40 to 45-year-old man or woman who is the head of some form of advertising agency or multi-channel network, and then it will be three millionaires who are about 19.
Yeah,
children. Talking about stuff.
And telling us, who are, you know, nearing their 40s, how you should be appealing to them as consumers.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that will actually make me feel worse.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, it sucks either way. Yeah. But, you know, these do come... Last year was where we found out that the colour yellow is more effective than the colour red.
And what else was effective?
Looking directly into the camera for a thumbnail with your mouth slightly open. Those are statistically the highest performing thumbnails on YouTube.
And since you told me that, I can't not unsee it on every channel.
Yeah.
That, like, does a lot of, like, Cinemassacre do it. Those two kids that Andy watches about 20 times a day.
Rhett and Link.
Yeah, they have those thumbnails. Mm. We tried it very unsuccessfully. So, yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to it. There's a podcast one that I'm really looking forward to going to.
The on the thumbnail chat, the one that keeps on popping up in my recommended videos, no matter where I go, is Adam Pacitti's stupid face with like a shocked half-open mouth. And it's the Wish video. You know, like all the stuff they bought for $500 or whatever it was from Wish. It's got like 500,000 views now.
What?
Yeah, I know.
They do nothing.
It's but good on them. They use the thumbnail.
I mean, I've never heard of them.
Effectively.
But...
So, yeah. Who knows what breakthroughs in YouTube thumbnailing there have been in the last year?
Oh, I'm excited.
We'll feed back to you folks.
So you get to essentially get all of our knowledge for nowt. And what are you doing on Sunday?
Well, I'm going back home for a night.
That's fun.
My lady partner's busy. My mum and dad are very clingy emotionally. Mm-hmm. So I thought I will bless them with my presence.
Do you think that your mum and dad have had empty nest syndrome?
Yeah, massively. They love me so much. And my sister's okay. And my
sister is this podcast of a sibling.
And weirdly, my sister has never moved more than 10 minutes away from them. Mm. But I think that just makes it worse. Like, they're bored of my sister.
Yeah.
So when I come back, it's a huge deal. And it just makes my sister angrier. I love it.
I was talking to my parents about this, or I was talking to my mum about this recently, because, you know, obviously we're looking to move, which we're probably not going to be happening this year. We think it'll probably be something we do next year, just for the sake of money, because the housing market is too expensive. But we're looking towards... Royal Tunbridge Wells, or Tunbridge Wells. And my brother calls it Bunbridge Wells. And I was like, why? And he's like, because you're going to be further away from us. Aww. And I like that less. And I was like, actually, it's Royal Bunbridge Wells. And I told my mum this. I was like, yeah, Ben's quite upset because, bearing in mind, though, he lives in Mahuntleth, which is the arse end of nowhere.
And he lived in, like, Sweden for a while.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's also made Double him standards. More like... You know, now that he's actually close to home, he wants to see us more. And my parents moved away up to Herefordshire. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be a longer drive for us as well. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I can't just live close by.
But you do nothing, Mum and Dad. You do nothing.
Yeah. I mean, they are technically. I mean, my dad basically retired. My mum's borderline retired now. They're just going to be building, like, their house
exactly.
up. But, yeah, so I don't know if my parents definitely don't have empty nest syndrome, though. In fact, my dad keeps saying to me, like, almost every year on the dot, you know, you don't have to come for Christmas, right? Like, you
can't.
I think what my dad is looking is for us to be, like, we'll have Christmas on our own, and then we'll come up and see them on Boxing Day or the day after. Whereas my mum is like, no, you come here the day before Christmas Eve, and you'll stay here until New Year?
Damn right.
Maybe even like 5 days after? my dad is very much like, no, you just move away. You'll be fine.
I've had enough of you.
Right, so shall we get out of here then?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we'll bring this to a close. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back. Don't turn your mic pack off yet. I'm done.
Just prepping it. I'm just prepping the mic pack.
Don't turn it off because it's going to make a horrible sound. Don't do it. We'll be back next week with the Raw review, with the AEW NXT review. But before then, Pete, stop it. Pete,
turn it off.
Oh, what?
I was trying to edit round that now. And Pete and Andy will be here tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Take care, I love you, goodbye.
What noise is it make?
I don't know.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.